producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight, Kate Delaney. That was a little bit of the sounds heard of a choir singing in remembrance of Martin Luther King Jr. There were similar celebrations around the country. A lot of people had the day off. It took a few minutes to remember Martin Luther King Jr. And believe it or not, it has been a long time, 50 years, in fact. Mayor Bill de Blasio had this to say earlier in the day.
We've got 2016, 2017, into 2018. We should not walk to that anniversary. We should race to that anniversary and make the changes Dr. King called upon us to make.
Yep. So, again, so many celebrations, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and there's a lot to get to on this show, but I think of the significance and I think, gosh, what would Martin Luther King Jr., what would Martin Luther King Jr. think of what was happening now in the country, and how far have we come or not come since then? And, you know, the guy who was a Baptist minister turned activist, turned humanitarian, and was certainly one of the leaders in the civil rights movements and deserves so many of the accolades, I think, that he has gotten over the years. But it's one of those, if you could know what now is taking place, how would King feel? And you think of the, I think of the stories that I heard, but in 1964, King received the Nobel Prize for combating, you know, what was racial inequality, really, through peaceful means. And in 65, he helped organize the Selma to Montgomery marches. And, you know, the list of what King did goes on and on and on. And in his death, awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom and the Congressional Gold Medal and, you know, so much more. And then, did you know this? Martin Luther King Jr. Day, when did it first come about? You know, I couldn't remember this. Somebody asked me this question. I knew kind of when. But really, in a lot of cities and states, it started in 1971. And then it wasn't actually a U.S. federal holiday till 1986. And, boy, it's been interesting to see, and I would love to know this number. And there's no great tally to find this number, but how many streets, hundreds of streets in the U.S. have been renamed in his honor, certainly. So thinking of Martin Luther King Jr. as another MLK Day passes in this country. In the meantime, we move from crisis to politics to sadness over the death of Glenn Frey, dead at the age of 67. You know, you think of the Eagles, Take It Easy, Hotel California. I mean, the list of songs goes on. And Glenn Frey, instrumental as one of the founding members of that rock band, the Eagles. And he was sick for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, automatically where my mind goes, and probably many of you too, you think, oh, is this another cancer thing, something that happened? But it was complications from rheumatoid arthritis, acute ulcer colitis, and pneumonia. He had a bunch of intestinal problems, and that caused the postponement of their inclusion into the Kennedy Center Honors. But I had no idea. I had no idea that, you know, these are serious things. You hear, you know, the spots, the commercials, when you think you have everything and they tell you side effects, and you hear about people who are struggling with pneumonia and other things that have gone wrong, and then you put the three of them together and it's just absolutely disastrous. Obviously it was certainly for him. And you have to go back to the 1970s and think of, you know, the backup band, because that's what they were. They were the backup band in the 70s for Linda Ronstadt. There's some dropping some other trivia on you. Did you know that? And I didn't know that because of my age and when they came about and whatnot. Naturally, in the 140-character world, which is where people post their feelings, Carole King wrote, "Rip Glenn Frey, deepest condolences to his family and the Eagles." And there are a lot of musicians that have come out to say that. Rita Wilson said, "It may be raining, but there's a rainbow above you. We love you, Glenn Frey." And so it's a lot of artists, Hollywood people, that kind of thing, putting out to the hashtag Glenn Frey. And I think that's going to continue for days on end because of the impact of the Eagles. Again, these are songs that have been redone over and over and over. Cover tunes, sometimes bad, sometimes good, and bands in between, others who have done it, for sure. And, just such a surprise, I suppose, for anybody not realizing what was happening with Glenn Frey. And I don't know if you ever saw the Eagles. I came to the Eagles later in life and had a chance to see them, and thank goodness, because it was a real treat with some of the songs that they sing, Life in the Fast Lane, Lion Eyes. In fact, Maureen Orth said, "Life in," she's from Vanity Fair, is the wife of Russert, Tim Russert, and she said, "Life in the Fast Lane, Lion Eyes, Hotel California, perfectly captured 70s L.A. Glenn Frey wrote it, sang it, lived it. So sad that he is gone." So now you think David Bowie, Glenn Frey, and you know where I'm going with this, the whole three idea, that things happen in threes, and it just seems so sudden. But definitely a legend, Glenn Frey, and supposedly, according to a few people I know that knew him a little bit, a really cool dude. A really, really cool guy. And I like that. I like hearing those stories. Absolutely. Coming up on America Tonight, we're going to let you, we're going to talk about one of the big flubs for a presidential hopeful that you may have heard about or perhaps not. We're going to take you there next. Remember, you can always chime in. Favorite song of the Eagles? What's your favorite song? Lion Eyes? Fast Lane? Hotel California? Hotel California for me. 855-266-5283. Meet you on the flip.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Glenn Frey, as I said, dead after a battle with a multitude of things, including pneumonia, just 67 years old, one of the icons, certainly, of his generation with the Eagles, no question about it. Welcome back to America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. If you want, a lot of you sent me emails about Glenn Frey, Rip Frey, this, that, whatever. You can throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-5283. Here's the flub that was heard around the world by Donald Trump. Donald Trump was at a Christian, was in a Christian audience. He was speaking to Christian students at Liberty University, and he said, Christianity is under siege, and he proclaimed that in a speech. There's about 10,000 people there. They, you know, the students are required to attend the tri-weekly convocation, so he was at the convocation. Trump, who has definitely tried to target the evangelicals, which is a key voting bloc, of course, in Iowa, as he is trying to become the president, really tripped over himself on Monday. He tried to quote from the Bible, and you know this, you know where I'm going with this, to connect with the crowd of students at this, you know, Christian university. And he said 2 Corinthians 3:17, that's the whole ball game, drawing laughter from the crowd of students at Liberty who knew Trump was attempting to refer to 2 Corinthians. And you know, he still walked away being able to get some applause. I know there's like a hallelujah brother in there somewhere. He, oh. Yeah, when he said 2 Corinthians, suddenly the skies burst open and hallelujah rained down. But he still got applause from the crowd by reading the Bible verse. You know, he said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. the university school verse, which is promptly displayed on the campus. So I guess, you know, they didn't really fault him for the flub-up. Instead, they gave him high marks for attempting to connect with a religious audience. And, you know, good for him. But that had to be, I mean, that had to be a little painful, I would say. Because, again, these are people that, you know, these are kids that are schooled in this. So they know the Bible. And it's tough to fake that. It's tough to fake knowing the Bible and knowing how to say or read correctly the verses anyway. And I think, you know, that's it. He moves on from that. And Cruz definitely knows how to quote the Bible, and he's got the evangelical, a lot of evangelical people behind him. So I don't think he's going to poke fun necessarily at Trump for that, but he knows that he's courting the same, you know, same crowd. But by the way, that wasn't his only hiccup. He used the word hell, which made some students point to this, the university's student code of conduct. The Liberty Way says that any obscene, profane, or abusive language is punished with reprimands and fines. He was talking about, he used the word in reference to the U.S., you know, the conflicts in the Middle East, wanting to knock the hell out of ISIS, or we don't know what the hell we're doing. So there was a little bit of reaction to that. There were some comments on some websites about what he had to say, you know, had to say there. Other than that, you know, he talked about Martin Luther King, and I think he got away being unscathed, let's say, compared to what could have happened and how he could have been, you know, ultimately just ripped to shreds for a pretty big faux pas in front of a crowd that is evangelical, let's put it that way. Otherwise, the road to Iowa looks pretty smooth for Trump, right? Is this, you know, is he going to have enough? Is he going to have enough fuel in the tank? Or does somehow Ted Cruz trump him in Iowa? Because this is results season, and finally we're getting closer to those results. And Iowa is where everybody now is campaigning. And, of course, New Hampshire, too, you know, as well. Those are the two big spots, and a little bit in South Carolina. We've seen that. The I don't know if you've seen this or not. I'm going to bring this up, but the Benghazi movie, 13 Hours, I went to see that so that I could talk about it on the air, and I have to tell you, it was epic. It was great. The people in the movie theater where I went to see it was pretty crowded. I mean, almost every seat was taken, and this was a couple days after it had come out, and people were cheering and angry at what they were seeing on the screen, and Hillary Clinton, who has dealt with the whole deadly Benghazi attack, was asked about seeing the movie. She said, "I'm too busy campaigning." She was asked on Sunday. She was part of the Sunday Swirl and State of the Union on CNN. And she said, "I'm too focused on making sure we do everything we can, as I did when I was Secretary of State. And I testified for over 11 hours to make sure that nothing like that happens again, insofar as we're able to prevent it." But, boy, you see the movie, and you see four Americans, Chris Stevens, killed in the attack on, you know, the CIA diplomatic facility and then the annex. And the film focuses on what happened to the grounds. And they were given orders to stand down rather than fight those attacking, and how much time was eaten up. And it really points to the whole time thing. It really shows the damage, and could they have saved the ambassador? And if you just watched the movie and knew nothing about the story, it would just infuriate you to no end, because you see that they're doing everything they can. They're shocked. They're being, the guards leave their gates, and they're being attacked. And if down the street the gang that was guarding some of the CIA members were, if they were allowed to respond, you think there was a great chance that perhaps that ambassador would have survived, and maybe the others too as well. I mean, you know, who knows? But and then some of the facts, I'm sure there's definitely Hollywood liberties. But the bottom line is, in watching that movie, it definitely illustrates the points of, okay, so why with a team there wasn't there a quick response? I would put it on my list to see Benghazi. All right, coming up next, the survivor, because you asked for it, Louis K, as I call him now, my pal. He is so incredible. The movie Everest now is coming out. You can watch it DVD, you know, it streams starting on Tuesday. So you have a chance to watch the movie for a couple of bucks. I don't know what it streams for, $4 or whatever. You don't have to go to the theater. And it's that incredible tale of what happened in May of 1996 near the summit of Mount Everest. It's a who's who of, you know, movie stars that are in the movie, but I think it illustrates what you're going to hear from Lou coming up next in making decisions when you decide to climb Mount Everest, and then ultimately what can happen, how you individually have to make the decision whether you're going to go on or not when you're just so close, and what does it mean to climb to the summit? What kind of choreography are we talking about? The preparation, your mind, your body, the equipment, the supplies, what has to happen for you to get there, and what it's like to make that summit attempt, how when you finally get closer, what can possibly happen to you? So much can go wrong. It's one of the toughest places to climb, period, and how long it takes you, and to get that close and then to have to turn around. And some people just, that climate, that are incredible climbers, never climb down, as we know. They never make it down. But this story was an epic story of some well-known climbers who absolutely had skins on the wall, so to speak, and did their part to get as fast and far as they could, and then ultimately cost them their lives. But Lou was one of the survivors. What was it that made him turn around, but not Rob Hall, the famous climber, or Scott Fisher? Why did he decide, you know what, I'm going to take my chances here, and that's what I'm going to do? And again, that's coming up next on America Tonight. So hang with us. Remember, you can always flip us an email, americatonight.net.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Polesky of the Polesky Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold, or find yourself in an emergency situation? Get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. Fortressclothing.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs loves Beyond Tangy Tangerine, a complete nutritional supplement from Youngevity. That's why he recommends it to everyone he meets and takes it himself every day.
Beyond Tangy Tangerine, my personal favorite Youngevity product, multivitamin, mineral complex powder. You add it to water and drink. It's a great way to get yourself off the snack foods. It's a great way to demonstrate to folks who are non-believers in nutritional supplementation how effective a supplement program can be. It's great for kids. It tastes awesome. It's less than $50 a month, and it's truly a cornucopia of nutrition. Vitamins A, C, D, E, K, your B complex.
To get a nutritional supplement that's loaded with nutrients that even your kids will like, order Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com. Order today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Of your dreams. Think about it. You have the chance to climb Mount Everest. What it takes, the courage, the thought, just even in my mind thinking about it is overwhelming. I'll tell you what, our next guest is unbelievable. Lou Kosciuszko was somebody who in the spring of 1996 was realizing those dreams. In fact, he hooked up with renowned climber Rob Hall's Mount Everest expedition. And you probably know what I'm talking about because it was made into a movie. And there is a book now that is out that Lou has written. It's called After the Win, Tragedy on Everest, One Survivor's Story. And like I mentioned, imagine what it takes to decide you're going to do this and then what happens when tragedy strikes and yet you're there, you have to make a decision right before that to decide whether you're going to push through to the top or not. Lou, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. It's my honor to be here.
So, first of all, take us back to the decision to climb Everest and what that meant to you to have the opportunity to do that, and especially hooking up with Rob Hall and knowing the experience there.
Yes, well, I had been climbing for decades before that and had always thought about climbing the highest in the world, and I had climbed with Rob Hall on Antarctica in the early 90s, and he had made a remarkable decision on the mountain in 95 when he turned the expedition around close to the summit. And I made the decision right then to want to climb under his leadership because he had the strength to do something that I thought was remarkable when you're so close to the top but still keep your priorities of safety in mind and to make critical decisions under those high-stress situations. And as it turned out, in 96, he got a permit to climb with a New Zealand-based expedition, and I joined the expedition.
That's how it all started. Yeah, and you joined the expedition, and take us back through the early steps of the start of that journey. It seemed like all was going well in the beginning, right?
Yes, actually it was. For 6 weeks, we were making our way up the mountain, doing all the right things. Things were going well. People were staying healthy, even though it's a very big struggle to do that. Good decisions were being made. We had fairly good weather. And so we had every reason to believe that we were going to have a successful expedition. And we had moved up to our highest camp on May 9th. And it turned out we arrived in a bad storm, and we had to make a critical decision at that point as to whether to continue. But the weather had calmed, and we decided to make the decision to go. And then even on summit day, we moved along on time until daybreak, as we had climbed through the night. And daybreak, we were still on time, but then at noon, we were very close to the top, but we had made some mistakes, and we were out of time. And so at that moment, and that's the pivotal moment in the story, was that everybody had to make a decision at that point about what to do. And what's not commonly known is that when you're climbing in the Everest death zone, which is above 26,000 feet, you really are on your own. You're either going to make it or you're not. And when things go wrong, rarely is it a force of nature. It's usually climber error and individual decision making. So we all had to make that tough decision at that point. So that's really the big story. The big story was that we were all at the same place at the same time facing the same situation. So how can you have a different outcome? That's really the question I most frequently asked. And my answer is, well, it's individuality, because we each brought something different with us to the mountain that influences what we do. And as it turned out, some lived and some died.
And you say it so beautifully in the sense that reading something from your book, you say, I'm close to the top, I'm out of time, as you just explained, but I can do this. That's when it happened. A veiled force overpowered me. The sound of the wind vanished. Everything went quiet. I jammed my ice axe like a stake into the snow. I gripped tight with both hands as I buckled to my knees. The snow silently swirled around me, seemingly in slow motion. All I could hear was my pounding heart. After the wind, I listened to the sound of sheer silence when I heard what saved my life. What saved your life?
Well, what saved my life, and that's the remarkable thing about my personal story, is that I was really given a second chance at that moment, because a short time just before that, just before the moments you just described, I had made the decision to continue. But then I was overwhelmed by this force and dropped to my knees, and the only sound I could hear was my beating heart. And to this day, I feel that that beating heart, that voice within, was really the voice of my wife's heart, Sandy's heart, crying out to be heard. Because at that moment, the strength that you needed to live was not physical strength. It was really the inner strength to make the right decision. But it was the struggle, because you're so close and you know you can make it, but the question is whether you can make it back down, and to give me the strength that I needed at that point to overcome my own ambition and pressures to succeed was the voice of the heart. And I had promised my wife, Sandy, that I would only live a story I could tell. And for me to continue at that point would not have been a story I could tell, even if I could have survived it, because it would have meant breaking my promise to my wife, putting other people in danger, climbing beyond the turnaround time, and if even if I had survived it, it was not a story that I could be proud of and have any self-respect or the respect of others. So I credit, in my case, not my own rational thinking or myself, I credit to the spiritual force of love within me, that God's gift to me of my wife Sandy's love and that promise that I had made to her.
Wow. So as you realize at that moment, you make the decision, you're going down, no easy feat, by the way, because you're trying to survive, and you have to be thinking in your head, as you say, it's an individual decision, Lou, but you have to be thinking in your head about some of your comrades and hoping and wishing them certainly the best. And then eventually, as you get back to high camp, you start to find out what happened, and what was that like to learn that some just most are missing, frankly, and some are dead.
Getting back down was didn't necessarily mean survival, or turning back at noon didn't necessarily mean survival, because we climbed down into a storm. And, you know, Kate, at that moment and for quite some time after that, it was all about sheer survival of myself, hanging on. I thought any minute I was in my tent, but the tent was shredding to pieces, and I thought any minute I was going to be blown into China, bouncing around inside of my tent. And so for quite a long time, it was a matter of thinking about your own survival, thinking 5 to 10 to 30 seconds ahead, and that was about it. You had no time to reflect. And it wasn't until later that when the winds calmed and I kind of figured out that I'm alone and all of my tent mates aren't there with me, I'm starting to wonder what happened. And then you start to figure out that they didn't make it back, and you knew under the circumstances of the weather that they were still out there. And but even then, and this is a strange probably to say, that my emotions were probably as cold as my body, because you're still focused on how am I ever going to get out of here. I'm still at 26,000 feet, and the weather is still bad weather, and you can't live for very long above at that altitude, and that's why they call it the death zone, because your body is literally dying. So you don't reflect too much about the fate of others until you have some sense of your own survival.
Wow. What a story. Lou, hang on. Can you stay with us?
Yes.
We'll be back with more with Lou Kosciusko. After the Wind is his book, Tragedy on Everest, One Survivor's Story.
Don't come. complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
We're talking to Lou about what it was like when he turned back, went down, his tent being shredded, what he thought was going to happen, how to survive. His book is called After the Wind, Tragedy on Everest, as you know, one survivor's story. Pick it up. It is just an incredible read. Lou, it took you a while to be able to put this story together. Why was that? Was it hard to relive it?
Well, what happened was I actually wrote the story. I called it Pages. I didn't think of it as a book at first. I wrote it 17 years ago, and I did that because the reporting was sort of like fog rolling in, obscuring and distorting what actually happened, and my belief of actually what went wrong was different from others, and I needed to write it down to preserve my own understanding, but at the time, so my reasons for writing the story were different from the reasons for publishing the story, because at the time I just wanted to understand what story I had lived, and I wasn't interested in publishing also because what went wrong was really a matter of human failure, and I did not want to be one more voice of criticism about the people who were my friends. But I also wrote a very highly personal story at the same time. And when my wife became seriously ill, we spent a lot of alone time together and time reflecting on our lives, and I decided that I wanted to honor her and pay tribute to her, and the best way I thought I could do that was to put in physical form the story of my survival and her role in that. And that was really the motivating force for me 17 years later to publish the story. And today I feel very good about that because she has been, she's still with me, and she's felt much enrichment from all the responses, the overwhelming responses that have been coming from really people all around the world who have been reading the story. And I think it was a way for me to complete my gratitude to her. Today, I think as it sits on bookshelves and libraries and schools around the world, I think of it as akin to a portrait of her hanging on the wall of a place of honor. And it's a part of her legacy. And, you know, you learn a lot about life and yourself and from experiences like this, and to now share this has been just an overwhelming, enriching thing for both of us.
Yeah, and sharing it, you did certainly on the big screen. You were a consultant on the movie. What was that like for you?
That was a very interesting experience. I enjoyed it very much. You know, the big story was about the confluence of all the individual stories.
Mm.
And, of course, the movie was a selection of just a few of the more dramatic stories and really basically about the people who died. And I enjoyed the experience because it was a different experience. It's a creative storytelling experience, and I didn't know how screenwriters really work. They work in terms of scenes. Much different from a piece of literary work. And the decision was made that they wanted to make it a fairly heartwarming story. I wanted to add a love story component to it. And it was never intended to be a documentary chronicling the factual record. But everything that is shown did happen. There were no cheesy things or overdramatic events. I give it a 10 for cinematography, music, sound, acting. It was really quite remarkable. And from my own standpoint, when I saw the movie the first time, I really relived the experience. And it was hard for me to see it as a movie, and I had to go back again to try to separate myself from the person who was there, and because I could, the people who died were my friends, and they're still there. Their bodies will be there for eternity. And as I was watching the film, I could see, I knew exactly where they were, and it was a little bit unsettling. So the second time that I saw it, I was able to separate myself somewhat anyway and just see it as a movie. And I was also looking for what scenes were cut and what scenes were changed. But it was a good experience. I enjoyed it very much.
And so after the movie comes out, and as you say, it's even more people are being made aware of, you know, your story of what happened, even though there were lots of reports about it and whatnot. What do you hope people take away from what you've written?
What I hope they take away is, I think you have to think of your travel through life as living a story, and as you make your big decisions you face, think of those as a living a story you can tell. So that you can look back and feel with self pride and honorable in what you do in life. So it's a good, I mean, the promise that I made and the promise that I kept to live a story that I could tell was a pretty good template for basically all of the decisions that I've made in life. And I think what the Everest story shows is that, you know, the true worth of your travel through life lies not in how far or how high you go, but who you come to be along the way. And think about others. Don't think just about yourself. Keep your word. And always listen to the voice of the heart. The heart has a still small voice, and that is the source of the strength for me when I made that critical decision near the top. And so look beyond yourself and listen to the voice of the heart as you make your big decisions in life.
Wow, so well said. A great way to finish this. What was it like when you were reunited with your precious wife?
Well, it was one of the finest moments in my life. We just looked at each other and embraced. And I think today there is no nicer time in my life than just being together, feeling the love between us. And right now she's very ill, and we have a lot of alone time, and it's actually in some ways some of the best time in our lives. We just share life together and feel the warmth and the love of each other, and I'll still never forget the moments of seeing her for the first time.
Wow. What a story. After the Wind, Tragedy on Everest, One Survivor's Story. Lou Kosciski, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Well, thank you, Kate, for having me. I appreciate it very much, just sharing my experience.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government, or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.